It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll find out what goes into aging a 20-year cheddar and why it's selling for over $200 a pound.
First, the federal government issued a major call to action today to help bees and other major pollinators. The plan calls for help from everybody, government bureaus, farmers, landowners, and more.
Today's announcement follows last week's release of an annual survey of beekeepers showing a very substantial loss of bee colonies around the nation, with higher than average losses here in Wisconsin.
Keith Delaplane joins us now. He's a professor and director of the honeybee program at the University of Georgia. He's co-author of the Colony Loss 2014-2015 report from the Bee Informed Partnership. Keith, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, glad to be here.
So we'll get into the details of this federal announcement, but big picture, how much of a difference could it make for the nation's honeybees?
I think it's important because it sets an agenda and it makes a very loud statement at the national scale that we have a big problem here. It's mustering the resources and all of the rhetorical power of the federal government, and I think it's really getting people's attention, and that's a good first start.
And you've been watching this problem over the years. How big a problem? How worried should we be about our honeybees in this country?
Well, it certainly is a problem that has been there for quite a few decades, but what has really caught our attention was beginning in the winter of 2006 when our winter mortalities really took a nosedive, and that's when people started paying extra attention. And the situation has not really gotten better. I mean, it's been hovering around the 20 to 30% mortality mark every winter since.
And in this new report, it looks like it's not just winter. We did a little better this winter than the previous, but there were more summer die-offs of colonies.
Yes, and that was the big surprise. We've actually been collecting summer data now for our third year, and it's been surprising to see that they generally match our winter losses. It's very normal for honeybee losses to be high in winter, but finding this this trend for summer loss, that's troubling and unexpected.
So from what we know, what is causing these losses of honeybee colonies?
Well, I think most of your listeners have probably heard that there is a variety of issues playing into this. And part of the job of researchers is to try to untangle that knot and try to understand which factors are the most important in contributing most to this problem, and we're starting to get a better idea of that. And I think I'm along with most of my colleagues in saying that most honeybee colony deaths is due to parasitic varroa mites, environmental pesticides, and just poor quality forage out there in our habitats.
Now, in that survey we mentioned, it looks like some states had particularly bad losses of bee colonies. Here in Wisconsin, we're among the worst, not the very worst. Is this just statistical noise, or are there really regions where we're having bigger problems?
I do think that it's consistent that honeybee mortality tends to edge on the higher side in the upper Midwest. You know, up where you are, you generally do worse in, you know, Illinois, the Dakotas, Minnesota, than we do down here in the South. But probably the best explanation is just the gentler overwintering conditions. But there's plenty of parasitic pressure down here in the South as well that you think would compensate, but overall it seems to be worse up in the North Tier states.
We're talking to bee expert Keith Delaplane about recent numbers showing bad bee mortality rates in the country and a call today from the federal government to do more to help them. Now, let's get to some of the specifics of what the federal government is calling for, Keith. What are the key action items here as you see it?
What I like is that the federal government is asking all agencies to take a hard look at the federal lands that are under their control, and that's a sizable chunk of real estate. And if we were to make significant improvements in pollinator habitat just on federally owned lands, that would be a huge beneficial impact for our overall pollinator health and populations. They're looking at things like habitat restoration. How can we replace plants like lawn grass, for example, that have zero value for pollinators? Can we replace that with seed mixes that provide a continuous source of nectar all summer long? And that would just be a huge and measurable improvement to our pollinators of all species.
Well, that's federal land. Is the federal government looking for private landowners to join in this too?
They're certainly encouraging that. There will be incentives to promote federal and state and private cooperations on these matters. I predict that in our advertisements for grant proposals in the next year or two, we're going to see incentives for these types of partnerships. So, yes, an enthusiastic yes, and I think we'll see incentivization going on to make that happen.
Now, you mentioned these parasites. I know you've got a lot of them down south. We've got them up here. I imagine a hard winter plus parasites makes it harder for bees up in our neck of the woods. Is there anything we can do about these mites and other things that are part of the problem for bees?
The parasitic mite that everyone talks about is the varroa mite. And on the honeybee, the varroa mite is a non-natural parasite. It evolved on another species of bee from Southeast Asia. And what that means is our Western honeybee is very poorly equipped to deal with it. And we've had it since the 1980s, and we are still pretty much reliant on synthetic miticides that beekeepers lawfully put inside their hives to knock these mites back. But they never completely eliminate them. So it's been a very difficult problem to solve, and it fundamentally goes back to that evolutionary discontinuity between the two species.
Another cause people pointed to, and you alluded to it earlier, chemicals. People are worried about pesticides, including especially the ones called neonicotinoids. Still research going on. I think this new federal plan calls for more research. Do we know enough to start making decisions about what pesticides we should and shouldn't use when it comes to affecting bees?
Our knowledge is improving. EPA has been pushing for revised label language, which softens the impact of chemicals on pollinators. It's also reviewing some of the toxicity of these chemicals for their direct impacts on pollinators. And I predict in the near future we're going to be seeing some more modifications to our pesticide labels, advising users how to use them in manners that are less damaging to bees. One simple example, if you apply pesticides at night, then there's a good chance that they can do their job on the bad insects, but degrade to a level that's non-damaging by morning. We're going to see more and more changes to our instructions like that.
Briefly, what's at stake here if we can't turn this around for us humans?
It's no overstatement to say that the quality of life, the quality of diets that we enjoy in developed economies like ours can be laid at the feet of pollinators. Pollinators provide the diversity of food, the fruit parts of plants that we find very succulent and desirable. They're things like berries. They're things like forage crops that fuel our dairy industry, big up your way. And this is the kind of diets that you just don't have in very poor economies. So it's the diversity of our food. It's the price of our food. These are the things that are at stake.
Keith, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Keith Delaplane, professor and director of the Honeybee Program at the University of Georgia, talking about today's announcement of federal action to boost the declining bee population.